Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarvatim Vyasham. Tattu Jayam Udirajat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Naranaran Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha Hridiyanta Stohi Abrajani Vidonati Saritsitam. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire from material enjoyment. From the heart of the devotees develop the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Nasya Preshu Abradeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance on the Bhagavatam, by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome in the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, whose praise with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. We are on text 23, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, text, chapter 10. Just thinking to get the meter right. Evam supantanasu saditam utasaraja. Panam sabrajam ivata dridayam bibeda. So srig vamandasha mukarneya patad vimanad. Daheti jalapi jane sukritiva riktaha. Evam kshipam tanusi sanditam utsasa raja. Banam sabrajam ivata dardayam bibida. So srigvamam dasha mukher niyapadad bimadnad. Daheti la jalpati jane sukritiva riktaha. Evam shipam tanusi sanditam utsasraja. Banam sabrajam ivatad dirdayam pabeda. So srigvamandasha mukar niyapatad bimad nad. Dahi chijalpati jane sukritiva riktaha. Evam chipam tanishi tantiram upsapcharaja. Anam sabraja mi vitam tantaram pibeda. So Sri Brahmanda Shamukar Nabipata Vimanad. The Heti Japati Jame Sikrita Ritva. Balam Savarajam Ivatad Daranam Paveda. So Srigvamanda Shamukar Pathayat Pagana. Dahiti Jalpate Jane Sridhi Vritaha. Evam Shipam Tanishin Santi Sambhu Savaraj. Banam Savrajam Ivatad Dharnam Pleda. So Srigs Vanam Dashamukarna Bipada Vimanad. Daheti Japate Jame Sukhiti Mat. Evam Shitam Ganushi Santitam Utsuraja. Manam Savrajam Ivatad Dandarayam Veda. Vikram Tukumakar Dinapadimanad. Deheti Jalpati Jame Sriktivarikaha. Matajis. Evam Shipam Tanusi Santitam Tsitsaraj. Aham Savrajam Ivatad Didarayam Pida. So Srig Bhamam Dashamuktar Nipatad Vimanad. Daheti Jalpati Jane Kriksikta Riktava. Evam. In this way. Kishipam. Chastising. Danusi. On the bow. Sanditam. Fixed in arrow. Utsas Arja. Released toward him. Banam. The arrow. Saha. That arrow. Vrajam Iva. Like a thunderbolt. Tat Tridayam. The heart of Ravan. Bibeda. Pierced. Sa. He, Ravan. Asrik. Blood. Vaman. Vomiting. Dasha Mukai. Through the 10 mouths. Nayapatat. Fell down. Vimanat. From his airplane. Ha ha. Alas, what happened? Iti, thus. Jalpati, roaring. Jane, when all the people present there. Sukriti, Eva, like a pious man. Riktaha, when the results of his pious activities are finished. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Is Vaidhi not here? No. Is anybody going to run the... Oh, it's up there. No, is anyone going to... I have a quick time on there. Yeah, not yet. I'll tell you when. Okay, thank you. Who's that back there? Oh, it's Vaidhi. Okay. Translation, after thus rebuking Ravan, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravan, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas! Alas! What has happened? What has happened?" As Ravan, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets, when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. In Bhagavad Gita 9:21, it is said, Sine punya martya lokam vishanti. When the results of the pious activities are exhausted, those who have enjoyed in the heavenly planets fall again to earth. The fruit of activities of this material world are such that whether one acts piously or impiously, one must remain within the material world according to different conditions. For neither pious nor impious actions can relieve one from Maya's clutches of repeated birth and death. Somehow or other, Ravan was raised to an exalted position as the king of a great kingdom with all material opulences. But because of his sinful act of kidnapping Mother Sita, all the results of his pious activities were destroyed. If one offends an exalted personality, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one certainly becomes most abominable, bereft of the results of pious activities. One must fall down like Ravan and other demons. It's therefore advised that one transcend both pious and impious activities and remain in the state of pure state of freedom from all designations. Sarvopadi nirmuktyam tat para dvena nirmalam. When one is fixed in devotional service, where am I? Ravan or those like him may be very powerful and opulent in the material world, but theirs is not a secure position because, after all, they're bound by the results of their karma, karmana daiva nitrena. We should not forget that we are completely dependent on the laws of nature. Prakrita kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. One should not be proud of one's exalted position and act like Ravan, thinking oneself independent of material nature's laws. Verse again. After thus rebuking Ravan, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravan, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravan's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravan's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravan, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Om agan natkinamandasya ganagana shalakaya shakshur un militam yena tasmai shri grave namaha. I offer my humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, who's opened my eyes blinded by the darkness of ignorance with the torchlight of knowledge. As some of you know, I've been shepherding ISKCON Television for many, many years. But some of you may not know how many years I've been involved. In fact, our history goes back millenniums. And it may surprise you, but we had some cameras there in Lanka at the time Lord Ram shot that arrow. And today, we're going to take that old footage and see if we can actually see it again. So I'd like you to direct your eyes on this screen for a peek into yugas and millenniums past, when in the time of Lord Ram, he vanquished Ravana. Roll camera. Vaidyanath. Sound. We need sound.
Has ended with his death. Now he is as dear to me as you are. The kingdom is yours. Rule it well.
Ram.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You can turn that off now. Our little glimpse into the past. There's a number of lessons to be learned by watching that. First lesson is, you can figure this one out. First lesson is, don't believe what you see in the movies. As much as we try to get it right, there's always what's called poetic license. Right? How was Robin killed? Yeah, we had the arrow right. But he was on his airplane. And he fell from that plane, vomiting blood. So we didn't, you know, we didn't actually follow the Shastra in that sense. And I think it's, looking back 35 years at how we took the play from the Vaikuntha players and then we adapted it for a video. It's really interesting to me to see how much latitude we take in our presentation sometimes of Krishna consciousness. And it's always good for us to look at these things with somewhat of a an eye to also understand, well, what does the Shastra say? For example, Robin was not anybody's fool. He was those heads, there's some sources that say that six of those heads, four of those heads were the Vedas and six of those the heads were some other Shastra, that he was that brilliant a Brahmin. And he was also a master of the Veena. And he was, so he was fully conversant in all the ways of the Shastras. He was very artistic. His wife was very, what's her name?
Mandodari.
Yeah, Mandodari. He was very good to her. And, never gave her an angry word whatsoever. He had a lot of redeeming qualities. And as a great devotee of Lord Shiva, he was favored by Shiva. So this personality that we demonize, and of course we love to play that demon, had so many good qualities that, we were not able to really understand at the time we made this video. And I began thinking, gosh, I've learned over the course of a little something over the course of these decades. I've learned something. There is something to be said for studying Shastra. You may read the outline of the stories and we may make it simple for children and so on. But when you come down to the details of things, those people who were shouting, alas, alas, what has happened, they were all very well taken care of. Lanka was beautifully managed. And the whole city was built by a devotee, a transcendental architect, built that city because Ravana had married his daughter. She was the daughter of him and a woman from the Daitya dynasty. So she had both the qualities of the devotees, and she still had that tie to the demon's position of atheism and wanting to control everything. And the story becomes extremely complicated. And we, as individuals, we have to kind of understand that things are not as they seem. Just like when we're watching this video, we understand that, okay, that we've tried to present the principle of the demon being destroyed by the deva, in this case, super deva, the param deva. But in actual fact, there's much more to the story than what we see. Now, that's also true with every individual. There's much, much, much more to them than what we see with our eyes all the time. And that's where we become cautioned to be very careful in our dealings with other people and particularly with other Vaishnavas. I could take this lesson much more seriously, I suppose, because I have a tendency to quickly evaluate people and sometimes I miss. And what's really going on behind another person's motivations or their the so-called atheism or their perhaps their sometimes rejecting of our philosophy is not so simple. And Prabhupada gave us a very simple formula to purify ourselves to the point where we can actually talk to people so that we're not talking to the demonic qualities. Because he told us, what's the use of arguing? Better just to bring them in for kirtan, darshan, and prasadam. And in that way, they will be purified. There is no use in arguing. Now, Vaishnavas have a long tradition of arguing. Not just within ISKCON, but if you look back in the Gaudiya Math or other developments in the Vaishnav Sampradayas, we like to argue. But it's all arguments in amongst good-hearted people. You don't look at the demonic aspect of someone. You're arguing in the sake of philosophy. In the end of the day, you're dancing and chanting in kirtan. That's the ideal. However, most of us hang on to stuff. Lord Ram immediately let go. Yes, he's liberated now. He shot him in the heart. He killed him. He released that soul from that demonic body. And because he was killed by the Supreme Lord, he was at least went back to the Brahman, if not to some other eternal form. Although it's a little convoluted, because if you're going to develop your eternal relationship with Krishna, then you have to go back to another planet where Krishna is doing his pastimes, and then you have to be trained up, and then from there you go back to wherever you are going in Vaikuntha. So it's not, again, it's not so simple, oh, he went to the spiritual world. Kind of, sort of, but not exactly. Everything has its shades. It's not black and white, which is the way in which we tend to want to see things in life, because we want to live in an area of right and wrong, because that makes us feel good. I'm right, they're wrong. Robin's wrong. Robin's wife, she was cautioning him many times, you should release Sita. It's going to end up in a very bad result for you. What was Robin's fault? He couldn't take advice. He couldn't accept good advice from anybody. Even Jatayu was trying to give him advice when he fought him, and he wouldn't listen. Nobody who has such a closed ear to good advice from their well-wishers is going to produce a good result. So these people, upon seeing Ravan die, he was maintaining them. He was, that city was like, you imagine the best city or a city in Switzerland or something in today's world, which is very well run, very clean, very nice. And then the person who's responsible for that city is destroyed. It's very upsetting, because now that person to whom you've relied upon for protection is gone. That's why women or men, but particularly women, when their husbands die and they're left, they need protection. They want protection. My protection is gone. And therefore, they become very insecure about their futures. That's why in the Vedas it's established that the son is supposed to take on the position of the father in protecting the mother. In this case, the wife of Ravan, Mandodari, married Babishan. Because she lost her husband, so she married the husband's brother for protection. Not for lust, but for protection. So all these things are going on when Lord Ramachandra finally comes to take back the goddess of fortune from Ravan. And the point that Prabhupada makes in this purport is that anybody who uses up their pious activities is certain to fall back to this earthly plane. There's no value in actually doing anything in the mode of goodness, because it just produces, or even in the mode of any mode of nature, because it just produces more karma. So therefore, one has to rise from the level of sattvic activities to pseudo-sattvic activities, those activities in the platform of pure goodness. But how to do that? That's why you need guidance. Ravan didn't take any guidance. That was his major flaw, his pride. What we call in Greek, they call it hubris. It's that pride that cometh before the fall. He didn't listen to Sita. She said, it's not a good idea to keep me captive. If you let me go, everything will be all right. Even in some versions of the Ramayana, it is said that Lord Ram, seeing Ravan now fallen from his chariot without any weapon, said to him, why don't we carry on tomorrow? You get some rest and we can fight tomorrow. You don't look good. So even in some versions of the Ramayana, Lord Ram is giving him advice. And what does Ravan do? He doesn't take it. No. He's so prideful. This is, you know, have you in your life ever found yourself in that position where you're so proud that you cannot take good advice? I certainly have. And what happens? Usually no good. Usually I end up suffering. You know, sometimes a doctor will give you advice. You're overweight. You need to lose some weight. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, doctor. My wife's mother's husband has a brain, and he needs to have it taken care of. He's already had a number of mini strokes. He refused to take any of the doctor's instructions. Now they have to go in with some lasers. It's a 30% chance he'll live. Why? Because he didn't take good advice. So what is our advice in this day and age? Our advice is very simple. You know, you chant 16 rounds a day. Even Prabhupada said, even if you're not chanting so attentively all the time, you know that Prabhupada once said, but he was told by the devotees, Prabhupada, you know, some people are chanting in front of the TV. And Prabhupada said, this is how a pure devotee thinks. He said, at least they are keeping their vows. So, in this day and age, sometimes my wife says, you know, you're not chanting so attentively. I say, just when I'm chanting. But I will try to be more attentive. So, in this day and age, we have this Sankirtan Yajna. It's just so simple for us to make advancement. And still, how many of us don't follow the advice of Srila Prabhupada? You chant 16 rounds a day, follow the four regular principles. At the end of this life, you'll go home back to Godhead. Very simple process. If we just keep remembering that in the complications of our daily living, it makes it much easier. So here we are. Here it is. Ravan's lying there. And he's passed away. His wife comes to him, you'll find in the next few verses. She's mourning his death, because she's a very chaste woman, one of the Panchavrittis, one of the five chaste women in Vedic scriptures, actually. And the people are mourning his death. People are upset because he's protected them. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, we've seen this even in our contemporary world. When we saw Gaddafi come out of that bolt hole that he was in, that whatever it was. Or no, that was Hussein. Saddam Hussein came out of the bolt hole. And Gaddafi came out of the drainage pipe. And yet we saw people mourn the deaths of these dictators. Isn't it? We actually saw it. And we thought to ourselves, why are they mourning their death? But it's because they didn't get the connection. They offered peace in their land. And so these demons are mourned by those who are protected by them. And for, in one sense, if you understand how advanced Ravana was as a Brahmin and how many qualities that he had, then you'll understand that the people were very, very upset. Fortunately for them, the kingdom was taken over by the kind-hearted Bibhishan, and they became protected by him. But not in all circumstances does that happen, and nor did they know that would happen at that moment. And in those circumstances, people become very afraid. And they'll do many extreme actions to alleviate their fears. So we as Vaishnavas have to look at the world in the context that people on this planet want protection. They don't even care sometimes if it's protection at the expense of others, but they want it. And when you see this migration of all these people who have been frightened away from their homes in Syria and in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and they're coming to other lands, they're looking for what? They're looking for protection. I saw a beautiful sight of the devotees on Dandavats, and they were serving the migrants, prasad, saying these are also human beings. These are, they're non-different than us in the sense that they all are individual souls struggling with their karma. And so they were offering them the best solution that they could at the time, which was to feed them prasad. So when we are out preaching, it's not that everybody out there is a Ravana. And even if they are a Ravana, there's something good there. There's qualification. They're doing something for somebody. You know, this Pablo Escobar was loved by the people, many of the people in Medellin. He was adored. And so was this recent Mexican, what's his name, who escaped from the jail. Yeah, Chapo. You know, they do have their followers because there is a sense of giving protection. So we have to give protection to everyone in our preaching. That means when we preach, we can't preach in such a way as people will go away. We have to preach in such a way that people will feel that we want to give them protection. And that is an art. But it is an art that doesn't come from reading some self-help books and how to feel compassionate to others. It comes from our own purified heart. And that comes from only one place. From the mercy of the Guru and Krishna. And that's obtained by only doing a few things. Chanting Hare Krishna regularly, following regulated principles, doing some nice service. You know, there's 9 ways of doing service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. That's the most important. So, when you're reading the story of Ravan, and you now have come across his death, first lesson I've taught today, don't believe everything you see. Especially in the movies. Even in our movies. Do your own research. Whenever I prepare for a class, I'm very nervous because I start looking at the books, and then I start, gosh, this relates to that, this relates to that, and I use Vanipedia a lot. And Vanipedia, when you just take one word, it'll show you everywhere that Prabhupada used that one word. And then you get a whole different meaning of that one word. And then that one word, after you've exhausted the maybe 30 or 40 different or 50, depends on the word, different references, it'll take you somewhere else. Your mind will start to follow the trail. It's like a detective search. If any of you have not participated in the Vanipedia project, that's Vanipedia.org, I highly recommend it because it's like a never-ending trail to Prabhupada's, understanding Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada never used any words recklessly. They all came from Krishna. He said that himself. So therefore, those words, those English words, have very deep meaning, and we can understand them by plumbing them through this process of cross-referencing and referencing through so that's already been done for us by Vanipedia and is continuing to be done. You can actually participate in the Vanipedia project. I didn't mean for this to be an advertisement for Vanipedia, but I'm very, very enthusiastic about their work that Vishnumurti is doing with that, with Lakshmi, Priya, Devi Dasi, and the rest of the crew. It's much more, it goes much more in depth than you can go with the folio. So with that, I just will end the class by saying there's more than meets the eye in all of our studies of Krishna consciousness. It's a beautiful detective search for the truth of every situation. And although it's always fun to play the demon, if you understand that demon more deeply, those of those that like to play Ravan, it adds much more to the performance. They're not just one-dimensional people. And they have histories that go back. If I had a great memory, I could tell you Ravan's whole history of his appearance and who was in his dynasty. They can do that very easily. But I leave that for you to pursue. And now I'll ask for any questions. Satchidanoy.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Someone that told me attention to every listening. And obviously, as we know, Srila Prabhupada is like founder of Acharya. Everybody listened from him. But different people took it in different ways. And they have their own views of how to, or good heart, maybe some of them, spreading Krishna consciousness. Now, in order to do good to other people, someone can, you know, totally different from different people here, a different group, in another group, and different groups. In order, my question is, in order for not to become, like, in our dealings, in our disagreements, Rakshasa's type, like Ravana, in the demoniac, in correcting someone, in trying to spread Krishna consciousness, even if somebody disagrees, what will be the best way for you to, in your opinion, to carry on helping other ones? The world is in hell, and it needs help, and we are the ones who have the knowledge, but somebody has different way to do it, somebody different way, and then there's apparently, like fighting, and if it's not properly done, we're killing each other.
I'm not sure I quite understand the question, but let me see if I can mirror it. So because everyone's different and has different approaches to Krishna consciousness, you're asking how do we respond to be able to help them if they're not doing something correctly?
To respond to our own disagreements among different...
Well, I use the sphere of influence rule. I have a certain sphere of influence. You know, my family and then my friends, and they want to hear me. And they may, you know, like my daughter right now, she doesn't want to hear from me so much, so I don't give her much instruction. But my son wants to hear a lot, so, you know, I'm constantly giving him a lot. And it changes over time. You know, people go through different phases. So my sphere of influence extends to my friends. In I have certain friends amongst devotees that I'm close with. I can reveal my heart to, and certain people I would never do that because I know I'd be worried that my trust would be betrayed. So I have that sphere, and then I have the sphere like you know of the administrators, and some I have some influence with, but not much. So I look at my sphere of influence. Who wants to hear from me? And those that want to hear from me, then I'm much more vocal with them. And those that don't want to hear from me, I just use prayer that, you know, that this is going badly, this is not, you know, in my opinion, this is what... And I use prayer as the medium of the hearing, as opposed to their ears. Because Krishna knows everybody, so if I talk to Krishna about what's going on, then he can operate in their hearts. I don't have to do it directly. And they're not in my sphere of influence that I can help anyway. So that's, you know, that's what I mean. It's not a black and white answer. It's all in shades. And those shades are like the light of the day. It's changing during the day of your life. Sometimes you have more influence with certain people and sometimes less. So you have to be aware. And as Prabhupada has given us this kind of mood that we don't really want to get into arguments with people. So if there's something going on, then I try to make better prasadam or, you know, engage in some other activity of dancing or helping with the carts or whatever it is, as opposed to being direct. And in literature also, that's what you do to reveal characters. Sometimes characters, they don't talk on the actual issue. They talk about something else, but it's analogous to the situation. So their fear is, if they have some fear, it's not the fear of what it is. You talk about, oh, I'm afraid of, you know, being run over by a truck. You know. I had a dream this morning, actually, that Archita had called me. And I was fearful to tell him I was giving class this morning. Because, you know, I don't give class when he's here. So I was like, oh, gosh, should I tell him I'm giving class? Maybe he'll call and stop me giving class, you know. So, you know, we have, everyone has different ways of communicating different things. And sometimes it's through dreams, sometimes it's through prayer, sometimes it's direct. And there's no one size fits all answer for it. Because we're human beings and we're very complicated. There's this one woman, it was in a movie actually, she was praying all the time. And then she stopped praying and her mother said to her, she says, why do you stop praying? She says, well, I stop praying because God doesn't listen to me. And because she wanted a baby, she couldn't have a baby. And so, what's the point of praying anymore? And so the mother says, you know, she like didn't know what to say. She was trying to think, how do I give my daughter good instruction here? So she said to her daughter, you're complicated. And then she paused and she says, and God's complicated. You're both complicated. And once the daughter realized that she was like, you know, that maybe God, maybe she was a reflection of how God is, like a little complicated, you know, you can't figure things out right away, she prayed. Because she could identify. So there was an example of somebody who was able to kind of get in through a different door.
So in other words, also, we always choose who do we want to listen from. Because Kamsa at one time, when he was killing all the babies of Vasudev, at one time he became a little bit like pious, like, what am I doing? He went back to his friends and they, no, come on, go ahead, do it.
Yes, but he was open to hearing, and that's why Vasudev kept on speaking. Had he shut him down right away, what could he do? But he was receptive to the oral, he had oral reception. You know, if you saw the play the other night, they did it pretty well. Vasudev was very well written, actually, that play. Because it gave the sense that yes, Kamsa, because he was also Brahminical. He very, you know, these characters, they have very similar, especially these big demons, they all have big similarities. Kamsa and Ravan. It's kind of like a mirror reflection of the story in some ways.
You mentioned how Vibhishana married Ravana's wife. Where is that mentioned at?
I think it's, I'm not sure if it's in Valmiki's Ramayana or another one, but I remember reading that, as I said, those, there are different versions of the Ramayana.
Yeah, because I know Prabhu mentioned about one Ramayana by Tulsidas, and he said nobody ever became Krishna conscious by reading that book, and that Tulsidas is part Bhakta and part impersonalist. So I'm just, because I'm just wondering, because Prabhupada also mentions about the wife of Ravana, he mentions that she's one of the five chaste women in history. So, you know, that's not a qualification of a chaste woman that marries like that.
I'm not sure. I really don't know where Bindrup, because my understanding of Vedic culture is that the brother, if when the husband dies, the brother always marries.
No, that's if there's no issue, for example.
Oh, no issue. Okay.
Yeah. If there, you know, that's the five acts, have been the age of Kali to marry, to beget a child and the wife of one's brother like that. But that was permitted before, but that's only if the one, otherwise she would just go have the sati rite. She would do the sati rite, just like the two wives of Pandu, one accepted the sati rite and the other didn't. So that's according to, you know, Vedic understanding.
Thank you. Any other questions? Jai Guntara Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.